We have two pieces of scripture this morning, the first from the 71st Psalm and the second from the Gospel of Luke. From the 71st Psalm, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. And our gospel reading. Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. May God's gracious presence be known to us in our hearing and understanding of these holy words. Amen. This morning's introduction is going to give you a bit of insight into the Kralovic Kircher household. Earlier last week, my husband Peter brought home 4 basil plants. Now, given that neither one of us has a particularly green thumb, and we have successfully ushered out more than our fair share of plants, this felt a little ambitious. But, new marriage, we're gonna try it out, you know. We're gonna be generous in our assumptions. So, over dinner, we decided that the best way to keep these small basil plants alive was to give them names. We know that we personally are more likely to be attentive to the needs of an inanimate object if they carry some sort of title. And so we name things. And in naming them, somehow come to care for them a little differently. Some are laced with humor, others with practicality, and others with sentiment. Rupert the Roomba Vacuum, Gandalf the Blue Subaru, you get it. Now, I have to believe that we're not the only ones who do this. If you had a comfort object as a child and that object had a name, chances are you still remember what it was. And chances are even greater still that that name means something to you, that it evokes something for you, a memory or a feeling somewhere in your chest. Names are everywhere in our lives. From Starbucks cups to complicated documents to nicknames, we live with an abundance of names. Some of the names we carry have meaning. We're named after a relative, or our name has a particular story attached to it. Some of these names are assigned to us by others, and some we find for ourselves. Any way you slice it, names are important. Now, to today's scripture. In the opening verse of the 71st Psalm, the psalmist tells us that there is a presence to the name of God. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. How powerful, how comforting to feel that the name of God is near to us. And so, what do we do with the power of that presence? How do we honor it? I think you probably get where I'm going with this. We name it, and hopefully we give thanks for it too. And here's where it gets really, really beautiful. We can name it anything. We know from Mary, Mother of God, in the Gospel of Luke, that the name of God is holy. But we also know that God has so many names, infinite, really, present in all things and near to us. That holy space is filled with things we do know the names of. People we love, or moments written on our hearts. We can name those moments, those people, this life, as near to God, as sacred too. Now, depending upon who you ask, there are anywhere between 100 and 1,000 names for God, some of which are considered too holy to even be spoken aloud. Some of the Old Testament translations include Lord Master, the Lord that heals, and the Everlasting God. When foretelling the coming of Christ, the prophet Isaiah tells us that he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Moses asks God who he can say has commanded him, God identifies God's self as I am. We can say that perhaps God is beyond names. But our words have power. We know this. It's why we teach our children to think about what they say to others before they say it. It's why we often have to stop and remind ourselves to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Language matters. And what's the first piece of language that you knew? Your name. Whether or not it was your first word, odds are you knew your name. The Celtic theologian Padraic Ó Tuama claims that naming something is part of the project of being human. God, who has many, many names, creates and names, creates and names, creates and names. And then when the first man, Adam, is created, God invites Adam to give names to the things that God has created. And Adam does. The verb for name in Hebrew means to call, to invite, to summon, or to proclaim. In naming something, we invite its presence. Even if it's as silly as basil plants we're trying to remember to water. Naming is a gift, an invitation, and a nod to the divine. It is part of this wonderful and bewildering project of being human. But we also know that our words, the way we name things, can be used as weapons. Sharp or spiteful. We know that they have power in this way too, that they are a great responsibility. We know that when we are addressed with intention or love, when someone says beloved and means us, that the very posture of our heart changes. We soften toward the world a little bit. And we know that there are some things we are afraid to name out loud. Mental illness, fatigue, loneliness, grief, anger, disappointment, any kind of pain. But when we name these things, whatever they are, and share them, those words, the experiences, weigh far less than when we hold them alone and in silence. Because names have so much more power than we might ever even know. So what is it to name something as holy? To sit in a space and claim that something seemingly mundane is touched by the divine? You see, it's one of the quiet and brilliant gifts God has given us. The ability to name things around us as sacred. To name the nature orchestra you hear out on a lake as holy. To stand back and look at your children, all eating popsicles, undoubtedly getting themselves and your kitchen or car sticky, but nonetheless joyous in that moment. Perhaps even quiet, too. The power to name that as some sort of sticky sacrament. Those Kodak moments of life when the sublime and the incandescent unfold right in front of you. So next time, instead of trying to take the mental picture, name the moment. Hold it as powerful and fleeting and holy. And lean into it. It doesn't have to be momentous. It can just be a quiet dinner, or one of those Southport sunsets. When those times strike, ridiculous as it sounds, I often say quietly, "Hey God, I see you. Thanks for this." And call me crazy, but those sunsets get a little more vibrant in color. And those dinners welcome a very different kind of peace. As a seminarian, I find it fascinating that we have edicts and generations and councils and conferences all to tell us what is holy. But at the end of the day, you know God. You have a soul that reaches out for the nourishment of creation. You too can name what is holy. So today, choose one thing, just one thing, to name as holy. It can be as small as a basil plant, or as big as the feeling of warmth as you're falling asleep. It can be these things because it is your awareness of the inherent holiness in all things that brings that particular sacredness to the forefront, seen and known by you. Sometimes I like to imagine that it's the divine in creation waving to us, trying to slow our attention just a little bit, reminding us that we are also the keepers of what is holy, that there are stunning everyday moments waiting for our attention. I find when I start naming one thing as holy, I am quickly wrapped up in the realization that all things are brimming with sacred potential, that there is such truth to the nearness of God. So, what will you name as holy today? Who will you call beloved? How will you make the presence of the sacred known right before your eyes? Look everywhere. Because as Wendell Berry says, the great visionary encounters did not take place in temples, but in sheep pastures, in the desert, in the wilderness, on the mountains, on the shores of rivers and the sea. They took place in houses and on hills. Perhaps because God is not place dependent, and God's love is knit into the very fabric of us. Every place can be imbued with the holy, if we're willing to name it that way, to invite it into being. I think sometimes that pandemic life has pushed so much of us to remember that while the sanctuary might be here, church, the very sacred, is out there. It's everywhere that you are, near to the name of God, who has done wonderful deeds, whose name is holy. Amen. As we gather together in spirit this morning, we are reminded that it is in the grace of community that we find out just how boundless and powerful love can be. That this beautiful and challenging life is one we share. And in that sharing, we have the privilege of holding one another's prayers. And so, this morning, we lift our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Prayers for those who are doing the difficult work of healing, who are recovering from surgery, or who are battling illness, that they and those who care for them may be blanketed in the warmth of love. Prayers for those at the front lines of this pandemic, the families, the first responders, the last responders, the people who make daily life happen across so many fronts. Prayers of peace for those who do the uphill work of justice, those who ask us to imagine a kingdom of God as one that is in our very midst, one that we must work toward together. Prayers of strength for educators whose care and creativity is ensuring that even in uncertainty, they are the stewards of our children's futures. And prayers for our church family, both near and far, that through all seasons, you may feel God's love close to you and our love too. With these prayers and those we hold in our hearts, we enter into silence, knowing that in the quiet moments of the Spirit, we are embraced by the ever-loving arms of God. God of sunshine and tides, and the power of heartbeats. Thank you for your constant embrace, for the sure knowledge that whatever doubts we may have, you do not falter or ever fall away from us, because you are big enough to hold all that we are and all that we bring. Allow us to feel the warmth of your love on these long sunny days as summer eases truly in and we can breathe deeply in the comfort of you around us. In all the many distractions of our time, remind us, Lord, that that very time is a gift. Help us to treat it as such, to wrap it gently, to present it lovingly, and to use it fully and happily with those we love. Fill us with courage and with light, and help us to see the many faces of your Son in every person we have the courage to truly meet, and in every story we hear. Remind us that there is so much more to ministry than what is ordained. Encourage us in each and every one of our ministries so that we may gain greater communion with others, whatever that looks like safely right now, so that we may mark our time spent in love and care, and in doing so, gain greater communion with you, Lord. God of sunsets and oceans and everyday angels who get us through, thank you for all the light that always shines through. In the name of perfect love, amen.